Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. Mike Abendroth with Steve Cooley, and I just said before I hit the record button, don't know what we're going to talk about today, but that's never stopped us before.
And so, if you tuned in today, welcome.
Welcome. Sons of Murphy laws. They're sons of, you know, they're Murphy laws.
Sons of Murphy's law.
Yeah, this says sons of Murphy laws. That's what it says.
Okay. All right. Another Bible study kicker.
Uh-huh. Here's O'Reilly's law. No matter what goes wrong, there's always someone who knew it would.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. Well, it's like, you know, I did say after the Super Bowl, you know, people were, you know, all these New Englanders yucking it up, you know, and rightfully so. It was a fine game. But I go, I'm just waiting for Eric Johansson to say, I called it. Because okay. He does that all the time. You know?
This is a true story. We had the 20th anniversary celebration for me last weekend. It was the Patriots weekend. You know, this probably plays a month from now. Anyway, you snuck Pat in, and I told the story on the radio earlier, previous episode. Pat is watching the game with me. We bought him a Patriots T-shirt.
So oh, nice!
Root along with us. The Muscatellos were over, and at 28-3, Pat Abendroth said it's going to be a tie. Here's what happens. I watch the first half of the Super Bowl. And it's lopsided. I fall asleep, and I wake up. And the other team caught up. He go at 28-3. He said, they're going to come back and tie it. I couldn't believe it. You know, missed extra point and all these other things. Pat Abendroth, I called it.
Called it.
There's another law here. Kilpatrick's law. Interchangeable parts aren't.
Well, I mean, that's really true in life, right? You know, you just take one, as I was thinking about people, you know, you take one, well, it's just an interchangeable part. We can swap him in, you know, and it never quite works out.
I was thinking about IKEA, you know, and somehow, you know, you don't get the right lug nut and the wrong Allen wrench. You're like, oh, we'll just send you another one. It's interchangeable.
Oh, this will definitely, this bolt will definitely fit there. And you go, it's off by a quarter of an inch, pal.
Shanahan's law. Coach, the length Coach of Shanahan. The meeting is the square of the number of people present.
Oh, well, as soon as you say meeting, I'm just like, I love meetings.
When I first got here to the church, I was part of the worship team, so I could be part of the meetings. I could vote.
I was going to say, you can't sing a lick.
No, but I could vote, like what songs we would sing and stuff like that. I had one vote.
And you kept saying, how about you can't always get you what you want?
Well, I did finally say to the elders, I said, well, my contract says that I'm responsible for the worship service and everything that goes on, but I'm only one vote for the music. How do you think that's working out?
Smart. Uh-huh. You're very smart.
Here we have Brennan's law. Paper is always strongest at the perforations. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's because the harder you try to pull on it, it just... I can't get this thing off.
And these are all Irish, I guess, because they're related to Murphy. Dooley's Law. This is not Cooley's Law.
But Dooley's Law. Uh-huh. Yeah. Dooley is a fine Irish name. Uh-huh. So is Cooley, though.
If something happens to you, it has previously happened to all your friends. Because you're going to try to tell, you know.
Yeah, and they're always going to top you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's one of the – that is kind of a subtle law, isn't it? Because –
So my kids were back for Christmas vacation, and we like that comedian Brian Regan because he's clean for the most part. And he does that I walked on the moon bit, and he's telling his
hot pockets.
That's a different guy. That's Gaffer. He's doing the two wisdom, you know, I was at a dinner party talking about two wisdom teeth that I was, you know, taking out. And then he said, Mr. Four Wisdom Teeth Man came down and intercepted me, you know, you're nothing. And so my kids each had four wisdom teeth out. So there you go.
So are they going to meet somebody who had six wisdom teeth for?
Oh, interesting fact. This is a Gilligan's Law.
Okay.
Here's a Gilligan's Law. This is an additional one, not on the paper. I said to them, could we have their teeth? And they said, no, it's against the law to give adult teeth. If you're a child and you get your tooth pulled in the dentist's office and they're like, here, because, you know, you got to get the tooth fairy deal. But the adult teeth, which are massive, the roots are very rootish. You can't. It's against the law in Massachusetts. Why is that? Are they going to make an amulet with it?
DNA fraud.
DNA fraud at the cop. I didn't know if it was an amulet. I didn't know what was going on.
An omelet?
What I was thinking. Anything you want to talk about today? Is anything kind of, you know, in your craw? If you were Don Green, you know, I'd say, what's in your craw?
Oh, I think the things that are in my craw, we speak of quite a bit. I mean, the main thing that's in my craw is, you know, people who want more law. So.
That would be a law church.
More law, less grace. Give me less grace. I mean, who would ask for that? I would like less grace in my life and more rules.
Well, and it's one thing to have law in your life if it's a biblical law, but then they want external extra laws. I think it's, you know, I can just tick those things off. I can do those things, especially if it's an unbiblical law. I can do that on my own power. I don't need the Spirit to help me. And I just did it, therefore I'm godly.
Makes me feel better.
I mean, this believing that Jesus died for me again today, am I still believing that today? Do you mean I have to just keep on believing? Preaching through Hebrews. I mean, that's really the issue for them. Their unbelief and their lack of confidence and trust. And switching gears, First Mid-America, Inc., Lincoln, Nebraska, Dale Tinsman, the president, wrote something going into the new year.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'll leave the years out. Because that's part of the punchline.
1943.
That's the punchline.
Okay.
Okay. In thinking of the past and going into this new year, I cannot resist passing on to you a quotation that recently came to my attention.
Okay.
So here's the big shot in, you know, industrial
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln. Yeah. Stinkin' Lincoln, as we used to call it. It is a gloomy moment in the history of our country. Not in the lifetime of most men has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so incalculable as it at this time. The domestic economic situation is in chaos. Our dollar is weak throughout the world. Mm. Prices are so high as to be utterly impossible. Mm. The political cauldron seethes and bubbles with uncertainty. Russia hangs as usual like a cloud dark and silent upon the horizon. It is a solemn moment. Of our troubles, no man can see the end.
Oh, so this would be like 2017 then.
Harper's Weekly, October.
Yeah.
1857.
It's all over, man. End of the world.
It ain't over till it's over.
You know, part of the reason I didn't really think it was current is because there was no mention of nuclear holocaust in there. So, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Steve, I want you to know I found an old Master Seminary grade card, and I usually am a straight A student.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, there's two C's there.
Yikes.
Biblical Introduction, that's NTI.
You don't even have to explain that to me.
Uh-huh. And Internship for Pastoral Ministries, a C.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't make it to a bunch of the classes, and I said to—
That sounds like you.
I said to Montoya, I'll just take whatever grade, I'll do whatever extra work, but I can't be here for X, Y, and Z.
I can't be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So I got a C. And here's the one that's just a real big bummer. internship for music and worship an A minus? How do you get an A minus on that?
I don't know. I might have on that one too. Maybe your arm waving wasn't.
I know. I didn't do arm waving.
You
I was
didn't?
Excused from that class.
Well, that's probably why. Okay. Yeah, that's probably
but
why.
Here's the bummer. Here's the stab in the heart. Expository preaching, B plus.
Sad times.
In my mind, I was the best in the class.
That biblical introduction class. Oh. Well, see, I knew I wasn't the best in my class because, you know, I had Luis, what's his last name? Contreras.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good.
And then, Steve, I found some sermon critiques from when I preached in the lab.
Dude, they actually handed those things to you? Oh, yeah. Man, we didn't do that.
Oh, look at that.
We did not.
How can
do
I get
that.
A B plus when on this sermon I got a 96 and on this sermon I got a 98? Here it says rich balance of material. That was, I guess,
well,
positive.
Are those from Montoya or are those from students?
No, these are from Ben Aubrey, I believe.
Oh, you know what would surprise people, really? I mean, I wish we could show the videotape of the critiques of those sermons, because what Montoya would do is he'd have a student critique somebody afterwards. And the first few weeks, I was so shocked because everybody was so negative. You know, it was like, it was a complete disaster. I stopped listening after 2 minutes. I was doodling after that.
That's so dumb because A, you know, you want to try to be nicer on students, but it's karma in there, because if you blast somebody else, they could be blasting you back.
Yeah, there's no such thing as karma except for in preaching labs. What goes around comes around.
Steve, I have in front of me also the Bible in the News. When you see stuff like that, and there's a whole big, you know, 40 pages on the Bible in the News, what do you think about?
I just think back to the first train wreck of a Bible study I went to, you know, where...
you got a lot of splaining to do on that one.
Yeah, I do. You know, with the LA Times in one hand and the Bible in the other. Let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Revelation. Let's go to the LA Times. Netanyahu.
Did not S.O.S. Johnson call that future snooping? And you get the newspaper and then you try to transpose the Bible over it or vice versa.
It's so crazy because, listen, when you try to convince people that the grasshoppers or helicopters or whatever, well, what are you going to do in a – well, you won't be around, but what are they going to do in 100 years if the Lord hasn't returned then? You know, then what are the grasshoppers now? They're Martian spaceships.
What if they're not Apache helicopters? What if they're Navajo helicopters?
It's just goofy.
Well, in this book, it's got, you know, this is Bible in the News. And one of the articles is No Walt in This Disney by Kenneth C. Hill. What does that have to do with anything?
I'm pretty sure I don't know. Now, see, I would impress Bible in the News if it had to do with, you know, archaeology in the Middle East or something like that, you know,
they find Pontius Pilate's name from that era.
Yeah, they just found a new, you know, cave in Qumran, even though it didn't have any scrolls in it. At least, you know, it has.
At least have a cave.
Yeah, and at least it's somewhat related to the Bible. I mean, Qumran is not exactly the Bible, but a lot of the, manuscripts that they found in there were very good, you know, whether it was Isaiah, I think they found, you know, different things there in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So at least those are biblical in nature. But Disney, I think I've done a Bible search recently for Disney, and it's nowhere in the Bible.
Mm. Well, maybe if you take Michael Eisner's name and rearrange it, it turns into
Isaiah Saw. Or something.
Well, in the same book, Bible in the News, this too was a Celtic invention used during the ritual of Samhain. In the United States, the jack-o'-lantern is a carved pumpkin. The orange, grinning, candle-filled lamp of Halloween is extremely popular. Uh-oh, somebody's trying to call me. That's Luke. What's Luke doing? Hey, Luke, welcome to No Compromise Radio.
What's up?
Good. You're on live right now, radio. Here's Pastor Steve.
Hi, Luke.
Pastor Steve, how are you?
I'm great.
Now, you just did two shows on the radio. Anything you want to say to our audience right now, the Bible in the News? When you hear somebody say, hey, you have to have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and you see Bible in the News, what do you say?
Sola Scriptura.
That's pretty good. Maybe you should work at the admissions department for the Masters University.
Yeah, maybe I'll apply. All right.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you another time, unless it's an emergency. Are you bleeding?
I'm not.
All right. Talk to you later.
He could be bleeding.
He could. Well, I always say to the kids when we started the show, they were younger, don't knock on daddy's door if you see that NOCO sign unless you're bleeding. So?
And so then they just started cutting themselves.
Here, but it's interesting. It says that in Europe where the concept for the jack-o'-lantern was conceived, it is not a pumpkin but rather a turnip. The switch was made in America because besides being much larger than the turnip, the pumpkin is easier to carve. Here is the earliest known tale of how it originated. It is reminiscent of the classic tale of Dr. Faustus.
Wow. Oh, Bible in the news.
Yeah, I know.
Turnips, pumpkins. Now, maybe there's turnips in the Bible, but I don't think pumpkins are mentioned anywhere.
Well, you know, they actually are, but you've got the wrong spelling from the wrong enunciation. It's a pumpkin.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to give you a quote, Steve, and then you tell me what you think of the quote.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
They're all by Spurgeon, by the way.
My eyes are – I'm not sure I believe you. Let's see.
Yeah.
You read it, and then I'll tell you if it's a Spurgeon quote.
When you say, can God make me become a Christian? I tell you yes, for herein rests the power of the gospel. It does not ask your consent, but it gets it.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say, will you have it, but it makes you willing in the day of God's power. The gospel wants not your consent, it gets it.
Well, I just say amen. You know, all who the Father draws will come. So yeah, and Spurgeon did say that because I've heard that one before. So.
Okay. How about when talking about the doctrine of unconditional election? Spurgeon responded, and I just want your comments. This is called, what's your comments?
Okay.
Well, I do not like it, saith one, about divine election. Spurgeon, well, I thought you would not. Whoever dreamed you would.
I want to hear what Ann Voskamp has to say about that.
I'm about going to spit out this bad coffee for that. Actually, you know, talking about getting your consent or I don't like this. Actually, once you become a Christian, you really like election.
Yes.
Right? It's something that actually is wonderful.
And I've never thought, oh, I'm so proud to be one of the elect. Right? I mean, it is a humbling doctrine. People say, well, you're arrogant. You're this or that or the other thing. It is arrogant to speak well of the sovereign God of the universe. I don't think so.
Steve, you deal with more people than I do via Facebook because the NOCO Facebook, when I post something, I don't really say – I mean, I'll delete comments if they're just really foolish. But otherwise, I just post and let it ride. It's a one-way communication device.
You're like Bachman Turner Overdrive. Just let it ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a song that I – from that one album, 1973. What was it? Was it just BTO?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was probably a good album.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But anyway, when people kind of talk that way about I don't like election and this, that, and the other, I just – it's usually unfollow. I can't unfriend them. I just unfollow them in the Twitter universe.
Massive unfollow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's another quote from Spurgeon, and we're just looking for Pastor Steve's response. If it was Christ's intention to save all men, how deplorably has he been disappointed?
Well, and again, absolutely true. If Jesus – went to the cross to with the intention of saving all men, then why aren't they saved? You know, this is the question that people have to wrestle with, and they don't really want to because they take the shortcut. The shortcut is, well, because they don't want to follow Jesus. You know, God is doing everything he can, but the man's will is such that it overcomes God's will. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for one person to show me the scripture that would prove that. You know, even just kind of give me some eisegesis, give me some proof texting, give me something that would show me that man's will is stronger than God's will.
Robot.
That's not a verse.
Spurgeon said, and I want Pastor Steve's comment, there is no such thing as preaching Christ and Him crucified unless we preach what nowadays is called Calvinism.
Well, and I would agree because here's what happens even for an Arminian, right? If they're actually preaching Christ and Him crucified, it can't stay Arminian very long, you know, because here's the thing. If I say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, or God loves you so much that He died on a cross for you, well, I have to cross into Calvinism, because Calvinism kind of wraps up the gospel. If we understand man's problem is that he is helpless to save himself, well, that's not Arminianism. That's Calvinism. If we say that, you know, God provided the solution to man's problem, well, I guess Arminians can say that, but Calvinists say it with great elan, with great force, because we understand that it's true. We make no apology for it.
Spurgeon was right when he said Calvinism and Arminianism both can't be right.
That is correct. I mean, because if man has a free will, or if man has a will that's not completely useless, then, you know, Calvinism's wrong. But the Bible is very clear that dead in sins and trespasses doesn't mean, you know, mostly dead. When Jesus says no one can, he doesn't mean some can or some are able or all are able. He means no one can.
Steve, while we're all born Pelagians or semi-Pelagians, it seems like when we're born again, most of us were Arminians. How do you think that works out practically? Is it because that's the theology that they've inherited from their parents, or they're still trying to work out the vestiges of what they think they might have contributed in salvation? I mean, people that are really born again, not many of them are born again and they're thinking rightly about these doctrines of grace. Why is that?
Well, I think it's because of what we're taught, and I also think it offends the residual pride that resides in us, right? We think, well, I must have done something. You know, I did something right. I prayed the prayer. I walked the aisle. I believed. That doesn't that count for something? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you go into a basketball game and all you get in your 5 minutes of playing time is a rebound. Well, didn't that count for something? Sure. I want to be on the stat sheet. I was, you know, you quick go get a foul because you want to be in the scorebook. You know, I was there. I did something. I contributed. So I think that's it.
Steve, Spurgeon said, no doctrine is so calculated to preserve a man from sin as the doctrine of the grace of God. Those who have called it a licentious doctrine did not know anything at all about it. Poor ignorant things. They little knew that their own vile stuff was the most licentious doctrine under heaven. How can the doctrine of the grace of God prevent us from sin, not encouraging us to sin?
Well, I think, you know, it's a matter of perspective. I think from the unbelieving perspective, they see the grace of God and they go, well, you Christians can do whatever you want. You're free to sin. For a Christian, if we rightly understand the grace of God, what do we think about it? We think, I can't believe that God would do that for me. I can't believe that He would die for me. I can't believe that He would forgive all my sins. And, you know, even as I think about Ephesians 4:32, now I need to forgive others as I have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. And as I just think about that, all the things that I've done nailed to the cross of Christ, why would I view that as a license? Because it's a constant reminder of the grace of God in my life. And as a grateful debtor, right, I view life and I'm like, how could I ever think to willfully sin in light of all that God has graced me with?
And what you've done is you've just explained Romans 5 into 6 into 7, where you think, okay, I do have a right grasp of the grace of God and what it means to be justified by the finished work of Christ, received by faith. That cannot change. It's a declaration. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. No, it's the law of God Himself, and He doesn't change, and we're declared righteous. And so then it makes us say, well, out of gratitude, we want to obey. And how could I run back to that life again? And Spurgeon, I think, understood Paul well in Romans chapter 6. All right. You did pretty well, Steve. That's kind of a good segment. We didn't know how to start off the show, and it ended off with a veritable cacophony of cruciformitism.
I'd rather have some Spurgeonisms, right?
I pulled those quotes, by the way, from that article from years ago that we love to talk about. Are you sure you like Spurgeon? If you type that into your search engine, you can send that to your favorite Arminian pastor or Baptist that you know, because they all love Spurgeon. Everybody thinks they love Spurgeon until you read these quotes about.
Here, would Spurgeon join the Gospel Coalition?
Oh, that is a good quote. Well, would they let Spurgeon, or did they kick Spurgeon out of the Baptist Union?
Yes, they did.
All right. Mike Avendroth here with Steve Cooley, NoCo Radio. Write us info@nocompromiseradio.com. Go to the website for all the past shows.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Avendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.